The Voight-Kampff machine was a challenge. It's a portable piece of equipment. Technologically, it tells if you're telling the truth or not. It's kind of a visual lie detector.
You're watching television. Suddenly you realize there's a wasp crawling on your arm.
I'd kill it.
Ridley said, the idea is have this machine sort of exude the same scary feeling as if you walked into your office and you saw this big tarantula sitting on your desk.
Hello and welcome.
Did you order anything?
No.
You didn't order
anything. I'm fine.
You fine?
He's going to get a slice of your pizza, apparently.
Oh, that's true, yeah, actually. Yeah.
That's not what I need, but traditionally that's what's happened. So
what
I'm prepared.
I need
pizza. Yeah.
Versus what I want.
To eat, sir.
Yeah.
This is Songcast, where let's sing the whole show today.
No. Welcome, everyone.
No, this is...
Welcome, everyone.
I'm going to get a plate.
This is the, oh my gosh, a show is up where there wasn't a show for months.
Right.
Past.
See, I've been accumulating so many stories, I don't even know which ones I've used before now.
Right.
I'm confused.
Greetings, everyone. Let's go around the table real quick. You're listening to Slurpcast.
Here at CPK, California yeah. Pizza Kitchen.
And who do we
again?
Have? Who do we have over here?
The infamous Bob O'Rub.
And I'm the world famous Mark Burnet, who's going to slurp my food as we're supposed to.
And I'm the not so famous in the middle man sandwich, white
this
bread.
Is, this is not
on
a man.
Side.
This is not a man sandwich. I will have no part of such a thing.
Wes, and I'm not world famous, although I'm worldwide.
But you should be world famous.
I should be world famous. Mark and I and Bob come to you to talk about tech, and we get together. As
There's
often as
no
we can.
Business like show business.
Yeah, we get together as often as we can to talk about the goings-on in tech.
As long as we
news.
Can or as often as we choose to. We probably could more often than we do.
I could choose more often if I forgot my dentures less.
I could choose less if I had pants.
Anyway.
I didn't eat your pants.
A lot of information, a lot of cool things have been going on in the tech world.
iPad 2. iPad 2.
In the past couple of days, actually. It hasn't been that long.
Steve came out of his mausoleum to endorse the iPad 2.
So we got some stories, yeah.
Yeah, Steve ordered me to buy an iPad 2. I forgot about that.
Yeah?
I was thinking, should I really get one or not? I totally forgot that Steve ordered me to, so I guess I do have to get one.
That's funny.
He came back from the dead to tell you that.
Oh.
Some people think that.
Hmm?
So Mark, what happened this week? What's the big news? It's is it really
tomorrow is iPad 2 day.
Is it really iPad?
Buy one? Yeah.
Huh.
But see, they're not gonna be available for ordering on the web till 1 a.m. and they won't be available in stores till 5 p.m.
Okay.
So they'll get lots of publicity of long lines lining up in front of the stores.
I'm sure Steve will love that.
Right.
Thank you, Wes.
Yeah. Are we... So do you think there's that much hype that there's actually going to be just a scurry of people in long lines to get this new device?
I think there will be.
Really?
Probably, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think this time around it's going to be that hyped up. I mean, it's a new model, but in terms of functionality, I think people are realizing that it's not that much, that hugely different than the first generation iPod.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's stupendous. What do you mean?
Wes, I have to disagree with you on this one.
Really?
Because people grossly underestimated the market for this device. This is the best-selling device that Apple has ever come out with. And you saw what happened with the iPhone 3GS and the iPhone 4.
Yeah, but let's say you had your $800 and you went and you spent it and you bought an iPad 1. Mm-hmm. And now iPad 2 is coming out.
True. I mean, there is a much higher price differential than with like an iPad, well, between a iPhone GS and iPhone 4. But still, I think people who are going to buy a thing like an iPad are of the income range, mm-hmm. and the I've got to be first in line, and I've got to be first in my neighborhood right. to have one of these things.
All right.
But they are going to line up around the block. You'll see tomorrow that right. I'm right.
I think there will be. I think there'll be a line of people trying to get in yeah. and buy one. But those are the. But I don't think it's going to do as well as the iPad 1 did, because right. I think most of the people are looking at it and saying, "Well, geez, there's cameras. We kind of knew that was happening." Mm-hmm. But from the reviews that are coming back, the cameras are crap.
Right.
There is more memory, but most people aren't going to really get that. They're not going to get the big deal behind it.
That's actually good for me for multitasking stuff that I do. I right. think I would like that
because of jailbreak.
I think you're wrong because
really?
I think
okay.
a lot of people waited on the iPad because they saw what Steve Jobs does with the iPhone, and they knew that the next gen of the iPad would be a lot better. And since they've kept the price the same,
okay.
this group of people that held back
all right.
is going to be a bigger group of people than the people who usually hold back for the iPhone. And that's why I think the number of people who buy the iPad 2 is going to be even more than the people who bought the iPhone 3GS.
Okay. We'll see. We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Somewhat disappointing in the functionality yep. that the iPad 2 introduces right. when compared to the
but, right.
iPad 1.
But between the difference between the iPad 1 and 2 performance-wise is much greater than the difference between the iPhone 3G and the iPhone 3GS, and a lot of people bought the iPhone 3GS.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about what the features are in the iPad 2 that are new
okay.
in this model.
Well, it has two cameras, as you said, mainly meant for video conferencing because they're not very good quality.
Okay.
So, like, it has a back camera, but it seems to be so that while you're video conferencing with someone, you can aim the back camera at something and show it to them more than it seems to be just to take good quality pictures.
And people who are grandparents who right. held off buying the iPad because it didn't have a camera
right.
are going to buy it in droves now because they know it's the first Apple device that someone as computer neophyte-ish or troglodyte-ish like themselves can handle.
Yeah.
You're underestimating the number of people who are clueless about computers and mm-hmm. still don't have their own computer at home. This will be the first computer they ever buy.
You think?
Yes, okay. I know.
There probably
will I
be
know
people.
A lot of those people.
Yeah. There will be people probably who are going to buy this just because it's version 2.
Right.
And there will be people who will buy this because they waited to buy an iPad in the next, you know, the next rev of the iPad.
But there are rumors that this is very interim and that they may be a second one much faster than in another year. Because, and I can believe that because this one is really kludgy in some ways. Think about this. It still has only the one iPod connector, that old-fashioned connector, and they're coming out with more and more accessories, stupid little cable, adapter cables that plug into that port and then adapt it to something else.
It still has the home button.
Whereas every other, yeah, who cares about, that's okay, but every other device in the world has USB ports and
right.
things like that.
Well, there also may be some functionality in this model that we don't know about yet, things that are in the connector.
But hey, you guys,
yeah, mm-hmm.
you're still forgetting something.
Right. You know, the
most
other,
people out yeah. there don't give a flying you-know-what about flying. USB ports.
Right.
In the group of people that I'm talking about.
I need a USB port to hook up my external keyboard to play all the really amazingly cool
right, but,
synthesizer apps on the yeah. iPad.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are going to be buying the iPad 2 are people who have kids,
right.
schools,
right.
and grandparents. And they're not going to give a flying you know what about okay. USB ports. What they care about is the camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Faster, simple gaming, faster right. processor, and they feel like, wow, right. I was so smart to wait.
Right.
They're just going to go out and buy the damn thing.
So I think that this is a classic case. I think you're right, but I think one thing to mention is that this is a classic case of the software that's available dictates the volume of hardware purchases.
Right.
So when, like, for instance, Angry Birds is one of the most popular games out there.
Right.
So people who have iPads go around showing all their friends that they can play Angry Birds on the iPad. Literally, it makes people want to buy an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It literally makes people go.
But you can get that on Android, and they have a Windows version of Angry Birds now.
Right. I'm just using that as an example. There are other applications.
Right.
Like, for instance, Apple's, along with the new 2.0 iPad, they have the release of GarageBand, the new iMovie version, and those are really souped-up applications.
Right.
The virtual instruments, for example, in GarageBand, the guitar neck, where you can actually strum the strings.
Do they need the power of the iPad, too? Because you can install it on the One, but I haven't really played with it.
I suspect they do need the power of the A5 chip, but we don't know yet. We don't know until we can actually download it.
Well, it's available. GarageBand's available today.
But as of today, I haven't downloaded it. I'm sure going to get it.
Yeah.
So we'll know if that runs on an iPad 1.
But see, what I think, why Apple needs to do something for their own internal use, is they're ending up with how many versions of this? The iPad. See, because they don't have any external memory cards, they're forced to stock three different versions just because the memory sizes. Then they have no cellular or Verizon cellular or AT&T cellular as three different options. And then they have the black collar and the white collar as separate options. So they end up with two times.
Oh, they're going to discontinue the iPad 1. I mean, they're going to discontinue all the old ones.
No, but I'm saying even on the new one, you have black and white. You have no cellular, AT&T, or Verizon.
Yeah.
So two times three, you have six. Then there's three different memory models. So there's 18 different versions that Apple has to stock. And they can prevent that. So just for their own purposes, if they would put it on an external memory port plug, and then if they would, like, have replaceable covers, like if the Apple Store could snap a white or a black shell on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the modem, apparently the modem chips can handle AT&T and Verizon both. So for some reason they could probably combine those two into one model.
Yeah.
So they could get down to just two or three models if they were just a little bit smarter about it.
What people are not aware of and they're not thinking about is the cost of memory has come down to a point where it's now ridiculously inexpensive.
I know.
Per gig.
But by having it built in, they make more money.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, by having this $100 difference between the different memory models of iPads, Apple profits greatly from that huge, vastly different, different cost.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, making them stocking all those different versions and therefore running out of different versions, having to restock them, it must be a big pain for the Apple stores and other resellers to have to deal with all that different stuff. That's why I think they'll do something eventually just for that reason.
I don't disagree with you guys in the long term.
It's too profitable to have the different versions.
In the short term, I think you guys have a little bit too much of a nerdy background to understand what I've seen happen in the past. And I think from the people I talk to, the grandparents I know, the kids with autistic kids that I know, the people with school-age kids that I know, and the people in business, if I put together all the stuff that I know, and I stick my finger, not in my ear or in my nose or someplace else rude, but I test the air.
Okay.
It's the perfect storm right now. They're going to sell a shitload of these things.
And those people are not looking at Android tablets. That's all they want is
iPads. No. They don't care. They want to have what their smart-ass, nerdy friends have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Android tablets and have not yet matured yet.
In the corporate world, the iPad is very, 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 very popular. So much so that companies are actually talking to their IT departments and saying, look, we've had demand to get these things on the corporate internet for 3 months now. We have to do something.
Right.
And they're going to do something. And
again, the corporations aren't looking at Android tablets instead. They're really just looking
for... if you look at what's happening in the world, everybody has either a smartphone or an iPad.
Okay.
And these corporations want to sell and channel their stuff over those different markets, whether it's Android or iOS. But the point is that the Apple iOS has the upper hand.
Right.
Whether or not in numbers or not, but the store is a more trusted place.
Okay.
There are apps out there people want to run, and they're going to run them on an Apple device because they trust that. They know that a little bit more than the Android device. They know that the Apple Store vets their applications a little bit more. And all those things combined, I think people are either going to buy the lower-cost iPad 1s that they're still going to make for a while because that's a better price point now, or people are going to feel so smart about waiting to buy the second-gen one that the gates are just going to be knocked down like a delayed Who concert.
So,
or a Scottish rugby game.
So taking a bird's eye view of the tablet arena, one thing that we have to consider here in this game of catch up that these tablet manufacturers are playing is that Apple actually has educated the public enough so that it may not be as difficult as we think for a company come up with like an Android tablet, because a lot of people who have held and used an iPad are now more familiar with the platform and more comfortable looking at other options out there, so that if some company really does a good job of actually, you know, an Android tablet or what have you, that it's going to be that much easier for somebody to say, wow, this other product over here does everything that this iPad did. I now know how to use an iPad, so therefore I can just... the idea of actually switching to another tablet, it's not that far-fetched. Whereas before, when tablets didn't exist, it would have been much harder to actually, like, gain that audience and make people want to purchase that device.
True.
Apple spent a whole lot of money in selling and marketing and teaching, if you will, where the iPad fits into people's lives, that it also opens up the doors for other competitors to come in and do less marketing or less teaching to the public.
The other factor is that Android phones are very popular. Android has a very good reputation. And a lot of, you think that people buy Android phones because they're not on AT&T or because of the price, but a lot of people would prefer Android phones to iPhones. It has a really great market. So those same people might eventually realize that they're Android tablets. And there are very good Android tablets out right now, but they're very expensive. But as the prices come down of Android decent tablets...
That's the biggest factor right now, fact that the prices are pretty high.
Right.
Okay, so on the new iPad too, one of the things that I read about, actually got this from Apple Insider, is that Apple's quest to make thinner electronic devices... there's one interesting factor that's stopping them from making devices actually thinner and smaller, and that is the 3.5-millimeter headphone jack. And one of the things they're looking at doing, which I found kind of interesting, is making collapsible headphone jacks.
Well, one of the Android tablets has a bump on the side. I forgot what it was. I saw something, some device that was so thin they were having trouble with the headphone jack, and they just have a little bump there. They could always go to the mini kind, you know. You know, cell phones have always had that mini other type of jack for a long time.
Yeah, but the problem is that's proprietary. It's harder to get, you know.
Right.
My feeling is either you get a connector that comes with the device that converts a thin cable or a thin, you know, plug to a headphone female, although then you got to carry that thing with you.
Right.
Or you just start pushing Bluetooth headphones.
True. Yeah, there were rumors that Apple's going to make the iPads totally cable-free and only like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and stuff.
Right, but again, my point is, if you could feel the wave of people who want
an iPad.
You
might actually like that.
Who waited?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You'll be amazed at the number of people who buy the iPad 2. The timing is right. The education, the public knowledge of the device is right. The corporate desire to have them as work devices is right. The IT infrastructure and support for these devices on their network is right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming to a head right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think that there's enough education for people to actually be interested this time around in maybe getting one.
But for corporations, if real Windows 7 tablets come out, they're just as thin and about the same price point, would those sell better for corporations? Or?
No. Because as I know from personal experience using smartphones and Windows-based smartphones,
right.
The operating systems, even though they've gotten a lot better, are crap.
Yeah.
It's so much nicer to use an iPad than it is to use a Windows 7 computer for most people who go to a lot of meetings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why would they bother? Especially if they are finally allowed to have them.
Right.
These people are executives, and as if you've ever been in an IT department, you know that when the executives want something, they get it.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right now they want iPads. They're going to get them.
Sure.
It wasn't clear to me, but this was also true of the iPad 1, and that is, when you go out and you actually purchase them, you may have a need for like a GPS.
Right.
One feature that we don't, that's not highlighted, is that if you buy a Wi-Fi only version of the iPad,
right.
You're not going to get the GPS.
Exactly.
If you get the data-ready version of the iPad, whether it's Verizon or it's AT&T, you will, in fact, get a GPS that works even if you're not using a data carrier.
Yeah, that's one of my factors. That's one of the reasons I was always sorry I didn't get the cellular version of my iPad before.
Okay.
And, see, I don't really need the cellular version that much because I cheat and tether off my iPhone with jailbreak stuff. But I have always missed the GPS, and I think it'll be faster. The tethering stuff is a little bit kludgy enough.
Yeah.
I suspect a direct cellular would be faster.
Yeah.
So I am going to get...
Well, I always thought the reason why it wasn't included in the Wi-Fi only version was because it needed the data line. It needed the carrier to actually function.
I think just the chipset. I think they use a chipset that has the cellular modem and the GPS all on the same chip. And the Wi-Fi version just wouldn't have that chip, I think, is why.
Okay.
But I'm not positive, though.
Maybe at one time they did use GPS, like data-assisted GPS or something like that?
Maybe.
iPhone.
Did you know that the white and the black version, apparently the back is aluminum on both of them, and the only thing that's white and black is the bezel on the front? Otherwise, it doesn't really make any difference. I'm not sure. Until I see that, I'm not sure. But do you have the impression that the back is going to be white and black also, or it's only going to be the bezel color?
On the iPad?
Yeah. For the
iPad,
don't
know.
Too.
Yeah, I don't... He didn't talk about the back, but...
Yeah. Because we have this major decision to make. Do we get white ones or black ones? And Verizon or AT&T?
Yeah, so that is kind of weird. I think I'm going to be getting a data version.
But
I'm probably not going to choose anyone right off the bat.
You have to.
Well, I thought you could. Oh, because one CDMA. But.
Yeah.
So is it true that they can switch? That
no.
They're going to be both GSM and CDMA? No.
No.
You're going to have to choose one.
That's
or the
what
other.
I say. I think one of these days Apple's going to be forced to do that because they're splitting too much in too many different products. But right now you have to choose one or the other. Yeah.
Well, I think what might end up being the choice for me is AT&T.
Right.
Even if I don't use them as a data carrier. But if I ever decided to go with a carrier, AT&T's got faster data.
If you get a signal. And also it'll work overseas better. But on the other hand, I can already use AT&T by tethering off my iPhone. So maybe I'll get the Verizon one just to have coverage where AT&T doesn't serve very well.
Yeah, I hate AT&T, but I think that I've got no real good option there. I think I'm just going to have to go with that.
Yeah.
And then, mostly I'd be getting the data version just because I want to get the GPS.
Right.
I'm willing to spend the extra $100 for it.
Yeah.
So
also, Verizon right now has a little bit better data plans than AT&T does, but they could both change them at will, so who knows what they'll have later. Right now, Verizon is going to have $20 a month for 2 gigabytes, and AT&T isn't quite going to have one like that, or 1 gigabyte. See, I think 1 gigabyte's enough because I'll be using it on Wi-Fi most of the time, so I don't think I really need that much cellular data.
All I know is that they love this stuff. They make money on every single device that they sell. So.
Of course, yeah.
I just wish I would have waited a little bit longer for going with Verizon for a new phone. Because even though I like my Android device, because the screen on the iPhone 4 is so much nicer.
Right.
And recently my eyes started going south, which I didn't anticipate.
Right.
And so my new device...
We're reading glasses.
I'm sorry, what?
We're reading glasses.
I'm...
That's the answer
to all
problems.
Getting to that point.
Yeah, I know.
But like you, I'm trying to find the 99-cent ones at the junk store.
No, the Walgreens for $5.
Or Walgreens.
No, but they do. You don't have to try to find them. They're there in all different
colors. I have to find the time to actually go there and do it.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, I'm just saying that I had a G1 phone.
Okay.
And its screen was really, really nice.
Right.
And the text that I could read on that phone, I can't read on my Samsung Ally because the screen is nice but not as focused.
Okay.
And my eyes just fuzz out.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing else against the phone.
Right. But I know, like the iPad has a much lower resolution per inch than the iPhone does, and it definitely pixelates in places where the iPhone would not pixelate. I know.
Are we done with the Apple?
No.
No?
What do you mean?
I was going to move off.
Well, how are we
else? Huh?
How would we ever be done with iPads and iPhones?
Well,
what do you mean?
Done in the sense of, have we talked about it enough in the show?
No.
Yes, we have.
No.
I think we should talk about the guy who died of the plague.
Yeah.
Because he was studying the plague virus.
Wow.
How the guy who died of his iPad hit him on the head because he was studying iPads.
That's going to be you.
I know.
So one trend I am seeing in terms of the software are interpreted applications or applications that allow you to do some form of development.
Right.
We talked about that before, how Apple had
They're starting to come out.
They are starting to come out. There's a sequel software application that you can get for the iPad and for the iPhone or iTouch that allows you to create SQL statements and run those statements against the database within the iPad.
Just to test it, to test them, or actually,
but you can literally do inserts. You can do updates.
Is it useful for anything, or is it more just to learn SQL for a different platform?
It's more for training, learning SQL, and figuring out queries. And there's example queries you can use. And but it's fully functional. I mean, it does work with the Oracle version of SQL.
Okay.
And you can even make procedures in this thing and create views to pull data from various different tables.
Huh. What's the name of that application?
I was pretty impressed. Let me switch over.
It's called I Love Larry Ellison.
No.
Yeah.
It's called Let's SQL.
L-E-T-S-Q-L?
Yes. Okay. L-E-T-S-S-Q-L.
Oh, two S's. Okay.
Yeah, two S's.
I know there's a basic and a Python also. I'm not sure what else.
I didn't find the Python. I did try looking for it.
Yeah, I have it installed on one of my devices, so I should be able to show you.
Is it for jailbreak only, or is it...
No. No.
I need to find it, because I do want to be able to write some Python stuff. Are we done? Can we move on to other things?
Sure. I'd like to bring up something along the lines of the planetary stuff that I usually zinc in there.
Okay.
There was some guy with a theory that... There may be actual wormholes between certain kinds of stars in the galaxy. I'm not certain as to the physics behind it, but I do know that it was at least being discussed among physicists as not a cuckoo crazy idea.
Okay.
But... I don't know how we'd get to the center of the star to get into the wormhole.
I know. That might be a problem, yeah.
Yeah. Talk about a hot topic.
Right.
But that's something that I saw out there in the the intertube world that I thought was interesting.
I can segue to iPads from that. There's an iPad app called Exoplanet.
Oh, okay.
That has a database of all known, of all the planets that they found, where they can actually tell that there is a planet around a star, and a lot of details of it, and it gives you an offline database. So any time in the day or night you want to look up something about exoplanet, you can do it right there on your iPad.
Wow.
I know.
Just like having the internet back in 1996.
And free.
Being able to dial up into AOL and look up information.
You could pay $1 to remove the ads. I think it's called Exoplanet. I don't know.
No, actually, I do think that's great, but it provides me another segue into another thing that I saw. Not really a full-fledged topic, but someone had some data about an exoplanet that they were saying, oh, this is great because this planet is, like, really close to the size of the Earth, and it orbits a sun that's like ours, and some kid somewhere looked at the data and said, this is wrong. And it made all the scientists go double-check the data that they had gotten from one of those new telescopes. I'm not sure if it was from the Kepler dual radar infrared satellite telescope, but they found out that, yes, indeed, they were wrong, and the planet might not only be not an exoplanet, but it might be around a different star and a totally different size.
Okay.
So the good thing is that the scientists weren't opposed to checking our data when it was pointed out.
Okay.
But the other good thing was some young kid pointed it out.
Right.
So just, hey there, people, when you're watching Fox News, don't believe everything you hear.
Right.
Check it out.
But also, if you want to waste a lot of money, just have some kids claim some data is wrong and watch all the scientists scramble around, spend $1 million just because some kids
And
that.
Watch how all the Tea Party neocons suddenly take all the funding away from NASA.
Right. But also, what about the meteorite? This is another space story in the last week or two about some NASA scientist claims that they found a meteorite that has bacteria,
a strange bacterium on it, right?
But
they investigated that and found it to be possibly completely bogus.
Just in the last week, really? I haven't seen.
Yeah, okay.
I figured it was, but
the fact is, you should always fact check everything you hear.
Right. Yeah, I didn't really believe that one either, but.
Well, I mean, the fact is, it's science. It's a fluid enterprise. I mean, you go back and forth. You research the best you can. You post it in a peer-reviewed journal.
But apparently that is going to be posted in a peer-reviewed journal.
So but
it's already been debunked, you're saying?
No, it hasn't been debunked, but there are some people who say it's bogus.
Right. Yeah.
But the fact is, at least there's argument about it.
Okay.
So, Mark, you sent out an email to a bunch of people with a different angle and aspect to the 9/11.
That's 9/11.
9/11.
You mean the helicopter video or something?
Debacle. Yeah, the helicopter video. So that was the New York police in a helicopter who had been filming, and I think they were using, like, Betamax or VHS tape or something.
No, I didn't actually watch the video because myself, I've been already debating it with people, but I didn't actually watch it.
Oh, really? Okay.
It doesn't really matter. I'm just having a standard debate about whether 9/11 was a hoax or not.
Yeah, so I watched the video, and I thought it was interesting. But it brought me to start looking at other articles that were similar to, you know, basically things that have occurred in the past, but were only recently brought up or discovered. And I found a Boing Boing article about stereo photographs of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake.
Oh, okay, this one.
Have you seen this?
No, but we talked about this before. Where
was it real?
Yes. It looks real, and not only does it look real, it's actually
This is like the
color.
One where someone found an old Chaplin film and it looked like a woman was talking on a cell phone? Is it like that?
No, it's not him. It was someone in the audience of a premiere. It was a newsreel about people going to a premiere of a movie, and one of the people standing, walking by the sidewalk around the premiere was holding something to her ear. Yeah, it wasn't in the actual film.
Right, but what is the one you're talking about here?
Well, let me just let me read the article then, verbose. I mean, it just says, basically, a volunteer at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History has discovered what is believed to be the first and maybe only color photos of San Francisco after the 1906 earthquake and fire that nearly destroyed the city. Photographer pioneer Frederick Ives shot the images. They may be the earliest color photographs of San Francisco ever taken. The photographs were intended to be viewed with the help of 3D image viewing, a 3D image viewing device from the SF Chronicle, and then they basically talk about the article that was posted.
But the guy actually took two pictures side by side, meaning to be seen in 3D?
In those stereoscopic glasses.
Right.
So Anthony Brooks, the museum volunteer who made the discovery, wrote about the color plates in the Smithsonian blog post in January with some really interesting details about the science and the aesthetic theory behind the technology Ives used. I'll take this and show and post this article on the blog, or maybe have somebody do it.
Can you also post the article about the firefighters and the helicopter?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to learn more about that.
It goes on for a while,
What's the basic point?
No, just because it's just filmed from a helicopter, and right as the buildings collapse, but filmed from above, whereas everyone else sees it from below. That's all.
Yeah, they literally fly over one of the towers.
And you see the people who plant the bombs, you see them scurrying away from the building. And you see the secret meetings where they figure out how they're going to cover this up. You know, it shows all that from the helicopter.
And do they disclose the secret location of your bat cave?
Sure.
Can I drive the bat car?
Oh, there's a cartoon today about...
Is that like the bat car?
You get to drive the bung hummer.
Yeah. There was a cartoon. I saw a cartoon today about Batman giving Robin a big lecture about quit checking in here at Sports Square. We're supposed to be secret where the Batcave is.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that was an interesting article. Do you have any stories? I got one about Mechanical Turk.
I don't know which ones I've used before because it's been so long. Did we talk about the one where some company is taking surveillance video from England? They're starting in England right now. And posting on the web, and they give rewards if you find shoplifters. They want people around the world to stare at the video all day long. And if you catch a shoplifter, they'll give them a reward.
I don't know if you guys remember, but this is something that I brought up in one of our audio blogs a long time ago.
That's a good idea.
Who's going to watch all this video?
The point being,
sure, we live in a Big Brother type environment, but without enough eyeballs to analyze all this tape, what's the point?
I know. Rent the movie.
You're basically saying now that it's all being outsourced.
Well, at least for shoplifting, yeah.
Yeah.
But rent the movie Red Road. It's from Scotland, and it shows, it's probably a fictional story about the people who monitor, who work for the city and monitor the videos and stuff. If that's in any way true, it's kind of scary, but...
Well, but it's also, in a way, kind of encouraging, because it points out that just because there's something to maybe be afraid of, in actuality, through logical thinking, you may be able to think, well, there's not enough eyeballs in the world to watch this.
The other scary
part might be that there are artificial intelligence eyeballs that will watch this stuff.
I think the point of a lot of it is not to watch it beforehand, but just if a crime occurs, be able to go back and play the tape and see who did it or something.
Well, the real scary part is how high-res is the tape?
Right.
And do I look like the guy who actually did it?
Right. That's true.
Because I don't want to be pulled in and put in Guantanamo just because I have red hair.
That's true, yeah.
You don't have red hair.
Not for you.
Not for me?
He changes it when he gets home.
You wouldn't change your hair for me?
No, when he goes into his other life, he switches his hair.
I see.
Maybe I'm afraid of all the cameras downtown.
You have like two wives at different locations, and like one day you're like at one wife's house saying, honey.
I take the fifth.
Oh.
Okay.
I see. And so you've got like a, maybe like not a plastic surgeon, but a makeup artist that you like.
This is all subjective.
Right.
Why
this
not?
This is all
you can get away with it.
This is all supposition is what I meant to say.
Does that light look like it's dimmer than it was when I first turned it on?
Yes.
That's what I was afraid of.
The blue light?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
We're going to take a really quick break while I swap the batteries out of the mixer.
And okay. I'm going to take my battery tester and jam it into my co-blogger's head.
Co-blogger's hand.
Right.
That's fine. I have backups. We're all good. And the power has not diminished in terms of what the mixer's doing. So we're all okay.
Let's take a short break and test everything.
Right.
Okay.
Let's make sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Goodbye.
Yeah, two of those are pretty low.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, those are... These are throwaways anyway. So we're back. We're recording. We're live.
Okay.
We're about to pay the bill.
Yeah, so that story I was talking about, the name of the company is called Internet Eyes. I forget the URL right now, but it's a .co.uk because it's a British thing.
Okay.
And they won't let Americans...
It is Scottish, so it's not crap.
Yeah. And they won't let Americans do the viewing right now. They'll only allow...
Because Americans are too stupid.
No, they'll only allow European Union members, citizens, to view, do the viewing and get rewards. But it's kind of an interesting concept.
Huh.
And then another company called Blue Cava, B-L-U-E-C-A-V-A, has some secret technology... Where they claim they can recognize the exact device that's accessing a website. They can recognize your cell phone or your computer so that they can track you and...
That's much scarier.
Yeah, they don't explain how they don't explain at all how they do it and how accurate it is, but they just claim that they can pretty reliably do it.
It's so scary because just like the laser in that movie...
Tron?
No.
That was a cool laser. Sorry.
But you shut up.
Which one?
The first one. It came out in the 80s, 83.
Okay. Yes, we're still stuck in the 80s.
Right.
Not weird science, but...
You know, all of my purple life... Sorry.
You're making me crack up now. I can't
think.
Yeah,
what was that movie where the Hot Tub Time Machine, where they went back in time and there was like all these drugs that were floating around?
Not that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I can't think of it.
Chevy Chase.
Anyway.
Lady Gaga. I'm sorry.
Everything more that you say makes me forget even further.
Right.
I know.
Anyway, Blue Cava claims that they're not really trying to track individuals. They're just trying to track bad guys. So if someone does something bad on a website, they'll get put in the database as being bad, and then they'll warn all their other clients that if this device shows up on your system, watch out for them, because they might be fraudulent for you. But it's really not at all clear how it could possibly actually do this, and they don't explain it very well, so I don't know. But what was your story? Even though you can't remember the name of the company.
There's a movie from the 80s that is about a bunch of kids at MIT, and they're building all their science projects, but their dean is actually trying to get them to make a space laser that's GPS locatable so they can actually assassinate people from space.
Okay.
And it's from the 80s. It has something, a title like Weird Science, but it's not Weird Science.
Yeah.
And it has the guy from a bunch of movies that I can't remember the name of right now because
Wes here.
The guy kept going beep boop beep in my ear.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Well, should we move on to different stories?
Can I do my craps now?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I've got a good story about Mechanical Turk.
Okay.
I'm going to read this, another one from Boing Boing, basically. I'll read it verbose again.
Okay.
Intrigued on hearing that Amazon's Mechanical Turk is increasingly used by spammers, Mark Allen, a UC Berkeley operations research PhD candidate, decided to see whether he could hire Mechanical Turks to spam him. So he posted an offer Right, yeah. Oh, do we want to pay right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, she walked by.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But she can walk by again.
So how much do
I don't know. It's 23 something.
Most of it's mine. No, you had dinner, though. I guess you had something.
Real Genius.
Was that the name of it?
That's the name of the movie.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before I start reading that, let me go do the bill here. Sorry. What's the total, Mark?
Oh, 28,907.
No. 28,9.
I thought that was saying, see that URL there? I thought it said cocksurvey.com. Doesn't it look like that?
Yeah, it does.
Let me see.
Okay. It's cpksurvey.com, but it looks like cocksurvey.com to me.
It does. That's actually really funny.
I know.
Okay. I want to go take a penis survey.
Right.
And that is with our discount here. That's
yeah, she said she added it.
$28.97. She added it? You're supposed to subtract it. Ha ha ha.
Okay, so.
So you didn't really eat anything?
I had a piece of his pizza, but...
Yeah, so
yeah, no, it's fine. So each person, each person pays a total of $18.82, and the tip is $2.
Okay.
Here you go.
So we just tell her to split the cards, I guess?
Yeah, just tell her to split it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shout out Real Genius, but if I have any geek cred on the show... If I didn't remember the title of that movie, I would have been ashamed of myself.
That's right. Funny.
Okay. What was your story? We kind of forgot now.
I know.
Because of that interruption.
So this is an interesting experiment done using Mechanical Turk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So the way it goes is that Mark Allen, a UC Berkeley Operations Research PhD candidate, decided to see whether he could hire Mechanical Turks to spam him.
Okay.
So he posted an offer to pay for for write-ups of things to see and do in the in Shiraz City, France. But there is no Shiraz City in France. There's a Shiraz City in Iran, though.
Okay.
This did not deter a flock of people who happily wrote fictitious reviews of the good times to be had in Allen's fictitious town.
We'll always have Shiraz.
Right.
So we all know that Mechanical Turk challenges the whole junk in, junk out dilemma and makes it more like always junk out, regardless of the input process.
Okay.
But the article writer says, I feel that users posted junk for my junk hit, assuming there's no quality assurance process working behind the task, and I'd probably just accept them all.
Right.
Which is why we need fact checking for everything.
True.
Yeah, I just think that's really funny. Well, I mean, if you're offering somebody money to spam you or to give you information, whether it's true or not, you're always going to get something back.
Okay.
Which brings up the fact that if you contract out your fact checking, is it bogus too?
Right. That's interesting. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was kind of a lame story.
No, really? I don't think so.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
It's the 10th anniversary of Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's actually more in January, but yeah.
Speaking of fact-checking.
Yes?
Well, I don't think there's enough on Wikipedia. If Stephen Colbert's fake neocon character can go in there and change the number of elephants left in... whatever African country that were there to thousands and thousands so they were no longer endangered.
Okay.
And get to name a bridge in Hungary.
Right.
Then I think there's a little bit more need for fact-checking on Wikipedia.
Yeah. But it's still pretty accurate in general. I think it's pretty good.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Yeah. I saw...
Yeah, just split the cards. Yeah, thanks. Okay.
I saw a wonderful interview with the guy who, or rather heard a wonderful interview with the guy who started it, who said, if we had thought about it, it never would have happened. We just started it, and it gathered enough groundswell to get big enough to start surviving.
Nice.
But if we had thought about it logically, it never would have gotten past the cradle.
True.
So... Yeah. I think that's an interesting fact about life or projects in general.
Okay.
If you think about it, it's sort of like the joke about levitation in some science fiction circles.
Right.
It's like, if you can fly, then don't think about why you can fly.
Right, exactly.
Because you can't.
Yeah.
And you can only fly because you don't know why you can't fly.
Right.
Wow.
And if you start thinking about it, you fall to the ground.
Heavy.
Okay. Well, I have a story like that with my dog.
It's
has taught
delightful.
Me. No, my dog has taught me a similar principle to that. The cat can jump up on things, the dog can't. So the dog gets really pissed off and tries to get to the cat.
Right.
Well, if she gets pissed off enough
that she actually
she will actually jump up there,
right.
But then later on she forgets she can do it and she can't do it again.
Or can't get down.
No, she can only get down, but she can't. She'll forget that she was able to get up there in the past, and she'll start trying a million times again.
Well, that's good for you because it generates laughs endlessly.
Yeah, I know. No, but also, like, I have this one. I have a suitcase sitting on the floor. And a counter near it.
Thank you so much, you guys. You
thanks.
Great
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So,
wow.
So the dog could easily get up on the suitcase, and the distance from the suitcase to the counter is less than she routinely jumps in other situations, but she cannot get up on that counter unless she's really, really, really pissed off at the cat. Then she can do it.
Do you think the wait staff here are similarly amused by us?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. My silly point was, do you think the wait staff here is amused by us ordering the same thing every time when they might know something secret about the ingredients of the stuff that we're eating?
Wow.
Maybe. So did we want to tell her it was okay to talk, that we wanted her
in
the show?
Yes, we did. We invited her in.
So that's why she's just keeps interrupting.
I think she would like to talk more, but she's too busy.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could just, you know, use four-letter expletives.
What do you think of the iPad? Ask her what she thinks of the iPad, too.
Probably give you a good answer.
Yeah.
So I have a story before we go on to crap.
Go ahead.
Right, okay.
So you guys all know about this research that was done about the public health safety issue. So are cloth seats a public health hazard?
Yeah.
This
I know
the
they found
sampling
things,
that they did
yeah.
on the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, our right. BART train system.
Oh,
where
I can just imagine what they found in those cloth seats.
Oh, yeah. They compared it to our Muni Transit System, which has plastic seats versus the BART's cloth seats with the cushions.
Right.
And found fecal matter and some kind of mold and all kinds of bacteria on the cloth seats.
It's okay. It
they
won't
also
hurt
found
you.
It on the Muni plastic seats, but they were easily cleanable with like a cloth, and then it was like then it was fine.
Okay.
I think that's hilarious because whenever I buy a new car, I never buy one with leather seats or you know fancy cloth seats because I know from experience that
thank you.
The leather seats.
Yeah.
The seams start to rip.
Oh, no, not
the cloth seats gather all kinds of bad bacteria.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the vinyl seats are much easier to clean if you ever spill water on them.
Yeah. Yeah, leather leather is porous. Yeah. So.
Or anytime you spill anything on a cloth seat, you can never, ever get it clean.
True.
Yeah.
Well, BART does somehow. They're always looking pretty clean.
Well, they do dry cleaning, yeah. They do it like once a month. They say they do it once a month.
They remove the cushions or something?
Yeah, they have like buttons or something underneath, and so they basically pop them off, and then they go and they clean them.
Can I tell you, someone claims that they have power outlets on BART cars. I've never gotten down on the floor and looked, but someone claims that, you know, in the middle of the car, the seats change direction. Like one half of the car, they're facing one way.
Yeah.
He claimed that if you get down on the floor in the place where they switch direction, or in the very middle of the car, you'll find there's power outlets there that they use for their vacuum cleaners and stuff. And you can plug your notebook into
your
it.
Laptop in there.
I never got down on the floor and looked, and it's not obvious otherwise, but I don't know.
I think by the time you got down there, the BART cops would
probably
find you.
Nah.
Yeah.
They'd let you
probably get away with it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for me. I've got another story, which you guys
can
might...
Can I do my craps now?
Yeah, let's just move on to your craps, because I think we're running out of time.
Why do we always run out of time when I'm doing my craps? We don't run out of time when we're doing anything else.
Here's the merchant copy.
So how much of a tip? $2?
$2 tip.
Okay.
Take your cheese and shove it way up your...
So anyway, so my favorite part of the show is where I talk about the crafts or critical applications that are for the iPad only and the iPhone, Maybe some of them are sneaking into Android lately, but if you really want to run critical applications like this, you really need to get an iPhone or an iPad.
Okay.
So one is called Beaver Jump. We were talking about Justin Bieber the other day.
We were.
So one is called Beaver Jump. It's like a, what's the jumping games, the famous jumping game on the iPad?
Qbert?
No, on the iPhone there's a famous jumping game.
Anyway, I was
sick
here
too.
Doodle
something.
Anyway, it's kind of Doodle Jump.
Yeah, Doodle Jump, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so this is kind of a clone of Doodle Jump, but it's just a Bieber jumping around.
Nice. I like the video snippet you sent out to a bunch of people about Justin Bieber on CIS getting shot.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
The long version.
The long version is
right.
Good.
Yeah. There's a...
I don't
Gaga hairdo. There's a Gaga hairdo app where you take a picture and show what it would look like if Lady Gaga's hair was on top of it, was overlaid on it. Okay, then there's one that's just, again, it's for the English. Some of the apps just have hilariously funny English translations.
Okay.
This is called Cat Divination. Thank you for hit. Divination series. It's free anytime. Explanation of application. Divinate you of cat from some questions. Character teller what kind of your character. Save to result of divination. It can check anytime. Can look for your partner. It may occur special rear cat. Please install this.
Weird.
That's almost a third language.
Yeah.
I know.
I was like, what?
What?
Yeah,
I know.
I got nothing out of that.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's actually a useful one called Key Detector. You show it a key, and it'll remember the design of it.
Okay.
So later on, if you forget which key is which, you can show it your keys again, and it'll tell you which one is which.
Oh, that's cool.
That's actually pretty useful, isn't it? That relates to the other one you were saying where it would track by GPS where you might have been drunk.
Oh, yeah. Where was that one? That's a good one. Yeah, there was an app called
While You Were Blacked Out.
Places I Think I've Been Drunk, where when you get blacked out, you take notes about it.
Or you just set your phone to record the locations.
Yeah. And they also have the same publisher has ones called Places I've Pooped and Places I've Had Sex.
That's great.
After hearing those, my idea was a paternity suit GPS tracking device.
Nice. That's not my child.
All right.
I have proof I wasn't there.com.
Sure. You can like fake that. GPS stuff, though, so I don't know.
I like that.
Then another one called Text Like a Bro.
Oh.
Where if you're texting the ladies, don't just do normal, boring English. They give you a bunch of phrases that are good, that a proper bro would use.
Which actually is racist. Right?
I think you're misinterpreting bro.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's an example. Instead of saying, hey man, what's up? I was going to a bar later to meet a girl. You would say, where was he?
He actually has to read it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have this app, see? They have this example, and I can't find it now. Darn.
I still think it's amusing that you actually have to read it.
I know.
I'm not saying that I would know what to say. Yeah. I'm just saying...
You know what? I think I looked this up in the App Store. Maybe it had more information there. Because I'm not finding it here, what the example was. Because it's a kind of funny example. Anyway, never mind.
I also think this, in a weird way, relates back to the app that you said shows you the nerd sounds that...
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Because my point was that... No one needs to know how to make those sounds.
Yeah, there's an app called Nerd Noise. It's a fun collection of random sounds associated with nerds and nerd-like behaviors, like categories of computer, radio, and telephony. And it's all wrapped up in a monochrome green environment. So it looks like an old terminal. Yeah.
And my point is, anybody who buys that application already knows what those sounds are.
Exactly, yeah. No, but you might want to play it in the background for a phone call to prove that you're doing nerd things.
I'm sorry to hear
that. No, you might want to play it in the background when you're making a phone call to prove that you're just doing normal nerd stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, if you were calling your wife, wouldn't you want her to think you're doing nerd stuff,
right,
and not
so
the bar?
If you called from a place that there are a bunch of nerd noises,
right,
she would know that there are no women there.
Right, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Breastimate is an app where you take a picture of a woman and it calculates her breast size just by the pictures.
That's good. That's useful,
yeah,
actually. I want to take a picture of somebody that I need to know her breast size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, walk into a bar. You know, I can only date women who have 40 double D breasts.
Do you
and
really
bigger.
Want me to comment on this?
What's
right.
that?
Sure.
Do you really want me to comment on that?
Not really, actually, Bob. No.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't actually want you to.
Yeah.
I fear that we're teetering off the edge of the cliff as it is, and if you were to make comments, it might push us off the cliff the rest of the way.
Actually, my comments might bring us back off the cliff.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I guess that's enough craps for now. And I get some of these craps. There's a blog called craps.com, K-R-A-P-P-S. He thinks it's called crappy applications, but we all know it's critical apps. He hasn't updated, you know, dawned on me, I haven't seen any new entries in the craps.com blog lately.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to him.
Well, I'm going to save my applications. I think I'm not going to talk about
you
them
have
today.
Good ones? Yeah.
I have a few good ones, but I'm going to save them for later because I have to do some more research on them.
Yeah. Okay. I have some good ones, actually, but yeah.
So I think that's it. I think we're probably over the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to hack off.
Yeah, because I have good, useful applications besides the critical ones.
Okay. Let's go with the useful one.
There's one called Money Reader, which is more meant for blind people. It's kind of fun to play with. Yeah, watch how well this works. So all you do is start the camera, and then you show it money. All you have to do is show it money and start speaking what it is.
It starts
bottom.
What?
Can you hear it?
Okay, yeah.
I'm just showing. All I'm doing is showing.
$20.
You don't have to align it. I don't have to do anything. I just get money within its field of view, and it tells
awesome.
What it is.
Notice that Mark pulled out something like $400 right now to show us an example of a $5
yeah,
application.
Yeah, if you show me some of that money, I'll tell you how much it is.
Here's my $1,000 bill
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that one's kind of interesting. And then what
like
else
that.
Have I installed lately? Oh, one I really like, although I'll probably keep forgetting to use it. I've had one like this before, but this is called Instacorder. You just start the app, and when it's ready, which will come up faster if it's multitasking, just press the button and start talking. It records whatever you say. As soon as you let it go, it sends you an email of whatever you recorded.
Huh.
Just for taking really fast notes.
Yeah.
So you used to have one like this, and it was kind of useful.
But does it convert it to text, or does it just send an audio file?
There are places that will convert it to text. Yeah, what's the name of the service that will, for free, convert things to short things to text?
Is it similar to those places that we were talking about where
Voice.
You send out a contract and you get bids back on the cost of translation?
No. First of all, for voicemail messages, there's a thing called Voice Cloud that will transcribe voicemail messages and send you a text and email of them.
But is it a computer program, or is it some poor person in India doing it for a living?
Some of them are programs. I think they're real. If they're any good, they're using real people. No, Voice Cloud uses live people in the United States. They're actually very accurate. But there's another one that uses live operators, but it's free for very short messages, but I can't think of the name of it right now. I don't think I have it installed right now. Anyway.
So a great business model would be to intake huge amounts of text and then break it down into slices that were small enough to get a free response back.
Maybe.
And then send it in from anonymous sources.
I guess.
And then pull it all back together and charge money for it.
Sure. Well, the other one they'll transcribe for free is Google Voice will transcribe voicemails for free, but it's really not very good.
Yeah.
It's not very accurate.
I think that's the place that had that cat application that you were reading.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
it's
funny.
Not that bad, really. Google Voice is better than that. But anyway, what was the name? I can't think of it now. There's a name of there's an app that'll take notes, either type notes or speak them, and it stores it in a database, And if you speak it, it will transcribe the first 10 seconds of it or something for free.
But how accurate is it?
No, it's human, so it's pretty good, yeah.
But how do they make money on it if it's free?
I don't know. It's all the stuff, all the internet. It's just through .com, you know, go public and make the billions of dollars, get bought by somebody. So it's one of those things, I think.
A pyramid scheme, in other
words. Yeah, I think so, yeah. All those things are. Since we didn't say the name of it, I can safely say that it's a pyramid scheme or whatever. If I can think of the name of it, maybe we better back off on that.
Maybe we all are Egyptian, after all.
What do you mean?
We all live in pyramids.
Oh, we all do pyramids. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
I think we're done.
I think we're done, too.
Remember, everyone, to listen to our show and to participate in the blog entries. I want you to go to our URL, which is www.slurpcast.com.
Yeah, you can add comments.
Yeah.
Which we might have to moderate, but yeah, I think it's said right now that you can leave a comment as long as the spam filters don't automatically catch the spam.
Okay.
It'll post it within the first 2 weeks, but after 2 weeks it needs to be moderated or something like that.
Huh. And one thing you can do, which is kind of fun, is you can actually send a message to Bob to ask him personal questions about us.
Right.
And he'll gladly respond non-truthful and truthful facts.
Right.
And you have to decide.
Okay.
So, that's it. So thanks. We don't need to rate the restaurant. We've already been here several times.
5 billion times.
Yeah. But thanks, guys, for being a part of the show as well. Bob, Mark.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing you the next time we decide to record, which hopefully will be next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Signing off.
Bye-bye.